It's HBR and All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence, and good to have you with us. We are excited because we are getting a visit in Honolulu from a band that have been coming to Hawaii for some time. I've been lucky enough to see them several times, Maxi Priest, and they're through Saturday at the Blue Note. It's a real thrill to have Maxi Priest right here with me and taking just a few minutes to talk with us on All Things Considered. A big aloha, mahalo, and maximum respect, my brother.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, you've played Hawaii many times over the years. What are some of the, I remember seeing you at the Waikiki Shell, for instance, mm-hmm. last year at the big Ocean 8 event. What are memories or experiences that you've had in the state that stick out?
Oh my gosh. Some of the places I probably can't remember the names, but, you know, I've been around pretty much all the islands. I'm actually sure it's been all the islands that I've been to at one point in time. Tom Muffet.
Great. The late, great Tom Muffet. That's great of you to bring him up. What about him?
My great friend used to bring us over here, you know, and take us all around all the other islands and stuff. We had such a wonderful experience traveling all the different islands and meeting all these great people. And you know, I was a lot younger then and thinking, wow, you know, I never ever thought I could actually reach this side of the world. And then to have the appreciation for my music or my work is something else.
So when you riffing on that, playing all over the world, reggae is a universal thing. Where I grew up on the East Coast, it was, you know, Bob Marley was a heroic figure, other reggae cats, Peter Tosh. But here in Hawaii, as you were talking about it, when you think of it as a reggae-based artist who's played all over the world, and you think about the connection that this state has to reggae, talk about it from the heart. What is it like? Describe it in terms of a visitor. You're coming here, you do this for work. How strong is the connection? What is it like?
Well, I tell everybody, you know, Hawaii is like home, you know, and especially because of the music, the way they adapt or love reggae music is something beyond special, you know. As you said, I've traveled all around the world, and, you know, reggae gets a lot of respect and a lot of vibes, but the consistency of the major radio stations in Hawaii that play reggae music is just, you know, as musicians, we talk to one another and we're like, you know, this is how it should be. You know, we cannot understand why a lot of the other countries have a, you know, there's a slight, the scale doesn't tilt the same kind of way.
And even in the United States, it's like, are there stations like this? I would think Miami might be one city that have them, but not a lot that would have stations that play classic reggae mixed with contemporary reggae. And on that note, I guess, adding to it the fact that there's so many local artists who play the music and embrace it as if it's their own.
Yeah, most definitely. But to add to that also, they play it with, you know, like top 10 Billboard track.
And their own kind of spin on it too.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, you know, over here you can hear a Beyonce and you can hear a reggae song
playing on the same format.
You know, and that is just, we think that that's how it should be. Yeah. You know?
And it's certainly an unusual thing. You just came from Asia. So as we continue this examination of how reggae has footholds in different parts of the world of different levels, one place I saw that you went to was China, among stops. What's your fan base like there, and how was that experience? I understand it was the first time.
It's my first time. So to say what the fan base is like, all I know is that we had two pack houses. And, you know, the people partied, they enjoyed themselves, you know, they rocked. To actually say what the fan base is in China, I mean, how many billion people is there? There's quite a few billion people out there.
Must have been a trip looking out in the crowd, huh?
Yeah, and you know, I was just really thankful and appreciative of the fact that, you know, we traveled all this way and the houses were full, and you know, and the people thoroughly enjoyed what we were doing. I guess being in the business so long, it brings me back. It brought me back to when I first started out and came to somewhere like Hawaii, and just amazed by the reception. So, you know, here's China, 30 years down the road, but almost like a new beginning.
Right, another, I get it, what you're saying. It's reminiscent of coming here because it's like, for you as an artist, it's another new territory you're going, and it doesn't happen every day, and when it does, it's sort of a special feeling, right? Is that what you're
saying? Not sort of, it is.
It is a special, right, yeah. It's a conquering sort of feeling, like, here I am, my stuff is now definitely working in yet another place.
Yeah, yeah.
I can dig that.
You know, I can't wait to go India.
That, you haven't done that yet?
I haven't done India, even though I know that I have pretty much a large following over in India. But I don't know, for some reason, all the time that we've supposed to go, for some reason or another, it
didn't materialize. Yeah, that is the other part of this business. The routing, the packaging it up, it doesn't always, that's a whole other can of worms, and I understand how that works, especially being in Hawaii, as you can imagine, some tours. It's kind of weird being in Hawaii, like Earth, Wind & Fire comes to Hawaii every other year, right? They've been doing this since the 70s, but there will be other bands, they'll never come here their entire career.
Exactly. It's strange,
yeah.
But I guess the dice rolls for the artists the
way it works. Yeah, it is. It's like sometimes it'll be routing, sometimes it'll be people here like stuff. I mean, like we're saying, it's a combination of many, many ingredients. Before I forget about it, on the note of the China thing, sometimes when, because we report on stuff in Asia, as you can imagine, we're in the Asia Pacific ourselves with Hawaii. And when bands play there sometimes, I can remember, I'm just thinking of a couple. I remember Stones, Metallica. Sometimes you read that the band were either approached by the authorities, or the authorities in China wanted to review their set list, the material, the lyrics that were going to be said. Was any of that a factor with your thing?
Yeah, we did. They combed through all the lyrics, all the title of the songs, and we had to send that ahead. And then they went through all the lyrics, and then they you know, told us this, we can do this, 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 and that.
They there were certain ones they rejected.
I'm not gonna say they rejected it, because the format of which we sent one of the songs in was a live performance. Okay. And I don't know, for some reason or another, they just said, could you do something else?
Yeah, well, that does happen. That's what I was reading with both of those bands I named. I just think it's fascinating, just about any band you would imagine. I mean, that's a different market, man. They're really taking a tight look at the stuff. Hopefully in the future it will be freer, but in any event, it's got to make you feel really proud to have. And so India will be your next big acquisition. Are there other ones that are, have you done Israel?
No, I haven't done Israel. I mean, we've been like Dubai and places like that. Okay. But Russia.
What you'd like to do?
I want to go Russia.
You know what would be funny? You mentioned Dubai. I just learned today that the QE2 is now parked in Dubai as a floating hotel, and they're renovating it to make it a floating hotel. They just parked it there in like April of this year. So I'm thinking out loud, you could do, there's got to be, they're going to do like a club, a ballroom, something on that thing. What a cool gig that would be for you as a Brit to be able to be over there on that boat. And
that would be something else. And, you know, we've played in some amazing places, like, say, for instance, not Bermuda. Oh, my God. It was just right on the tip of my tongue. No. I'm terrible.
An island of some kind?
Yeah.
A Caribbean island?
No.
I would think you have hit many of them already.
No, we've done all of those. But oh my gosh. There was an island that we played in a cave.
Wow. Like a major gig?
Yeah, a major gig.
And they have like a venue in a cave.
A natural cave. Oh my gosh,
this is terrible.
Kind of like the Beatles playing in that cavern thing.
It's towards England. Towards England. So it's another English British island as well.
Not the Canaries aren't there. The it's a British island.
Yes.
Isle of Wight?
It was a part of... It is a British island. Joint to Spain.
Oh, Gibraltar.
Jesus, Father. Can you believe that?
We got there together. It took a little bit.
My God.
Well, that would make sense. In a cave on Gibraltar.
Oh, my days. They will have my guts regardless for forgetting that. But playing in that cave was amazing, you know? You enter into this cave and it's just massive, open up, and it's got a natural kind of setting as a you know, for the crowd.
Oh, for the crowd to sit.
To sit.
So they're not on seats; they're just kind of on a hill.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you one. It's not going to be as cool as that, but in and I don't know if they do it every summer, but in Stowe, Vermont. You might have even played there. I'm thinking of who I'm talking to. So they would take the ski area and sometimes in the summer do like a season of concerts. And I'm not kidding. I saw two different ones up there in 92 and 94. You did Stowe?
Those ski resorts.
Where they converted. It was Santana Fish together in the summer of 92. And then in the summer of 94, it was Santana with Buddy Guy opening. And they did Maggot Brain together.
Yep, and we've done Alaska and places like that.
But I like that sitting like you were describing, just kind of a natural place. And Red Rocks you've probably done.
Yep.
And about England, what's the most historic place in England that you feel you kind of get a chill when you think of?
Wow, that's one for you. For me... playing in Crystal Palace in the soccer ground, Crystal Palace in England, Southeast London. For me, that's probably my most memorable gig that will live with me forevermore. Yeah,
because of the soccer football connection, or
well, I'm a big soccer fan, well, but
that might be part.
but also. You know, early reggae Sunsplash, and then having the whole stadium plus the ground full of people.
Right, no, I'm sure.
Something else.
You've had a lot of great ones. Well, I'm going to ask one more question, because if I don't ask this one, I'll be mad at myself for not asking it, because you've been really generous with your time. But Roberta Flack. When I was a little kid, I remember she came and my mom was going to see her. I was like, oh, I want to go to that. She's like, this is for adults, blah, blah, blah. I was like a really young boy, and I always remember that. And I thought, man, I have to imagine that was a huge moment for you.
Oh, big time. You know, when you speak of Roberta Flack, that's like one of the bricks that, you know, help to build the house of music.
I mean for you to get to do a collaboration, explain how it happened. Give us a little storyline.
Well, it was funny. I mean, she called the house and she said, this is Roberta Flack. I didn't answer the phone. My sister answered the phone. And my sister goes, Max, there's a woman on the phone says she's Roberta Flack. And I was like, what? You know, so we're going back and forward with it. So I picked up the phone and I says, hello? And she says, hi, Max. You know, this is Roberta Flack. And I paused for a minute and I was like, and then she said, she asked me if I would be interested in doing this duet. I was just thrown, you know? And then to be able to work with her and Arif Martin was magical, you know. Arif, during this time we were recording the track, he took me to his house. He cooked for me, and, you know, and I saw some Grammy Awards from early 60s. It was just amazing. Amazing. You know, it's a part of my career that will stand the test of time. Yeah.
You record together at the same time?
Yeah, we did. It was really amazing, you know, because she's effortless, you know. She's effortless. When she sings, it's like what you have to think about, she just does, you know.
And what a tribute to you, though, dude. She called you. It was her idea. She had this. I know, right? It was like she had this idea to put you on one of her. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even actually remember how I did. I really react like that, or, you know, I knew I had a reaction of surprise, but I can't remember exactly my full reaction.
You were shocked, though.
But I know I was really, really surprised. And then I was more surprised when I had to go meet her. And then even more to the fact that she came to the house, you know, and then my sister cooked. And
she, your house.
Yep. And she helped with the cooking and everything like that.
You remember what you guys ate?
Chicken and rice and peas and some Jamaican ackee and swordfish and, you know, traditional. And, you know, we had a wonderful conversation about, you know, obviously Jamaica culture and stuff like that. And her and some of her crew came over, and it's, as I said, you know, it's a time that will stand the test of any time for me.
Pillar experiences in one's life. It's great of you to share. I really appreciate that you take the time to just reminisce with me. I love seeing the smiles that come on your face on some of these topics. And it's Maxi Priest in town through tomorrow night at the Blue Note. And hope you had fun today. This was a lot of fun for me.
Oh man, I had a ball, and we're gonna go do it again.
Cool. I really appreciate it. It's great talking to you, man. And God bless you.
Bless you. Bless you. Hey, what up? Aloha, everybody. This is Maxi Priest wishing you a happy, healthy afternoon. And you will all remember when I was a guest on this show, All Things Considered, with my friend David Lawrence. Hey, this is Hawaii Public Radio. Please, please make a pledge.